Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's NAESP Partnership LifeTouch webinar on building campus relationships from the inside out. I would like to, at this time, welcome Jackie McGrail, NAESP's Associate Executive Director for Membership, Development, and Affiliated Services. Hi, Jackie.
I'm so excited to have J.C. Pohl here presenting today on building campus relationships from the inside out. Our longtime partner LifeTouch is sponsoring JC, and of course you know LifeTouch is the official photographer of NAESP. JC is an award-winning producer, nationally recognized certified counselor, who has reached over 10 million people with his efforts to build school culture and empower student voice. He's produced groundbreaking programs such as Teen Truth and Rising Up, and award-winning content for companies such as Warner Brothers, ESPN, and Disney. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist and can be reached on Facebook or LinkedIn. Without further ado, welcome J.C. Pohl. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Honor. I am very honored to be here today working with all of you, and so thankful that LifeTouch could help make this happen. Big round of applause for them. They're so great and such a good partner when it comes to not only doing school pictures and yearbooks, but also building school culture and helping administrators just get people connected on campus. And that's really what we're here today to talk about, is how to get your staff and students connected on campus. I know as principals, as vice principals, as administrators, working at the elementary or middle school level, you want to build great relationships. I am yet to meet one principal that does not want to build great relationships. But I think a lot of times the word kind of gets thrown around a lot, and we don't actually spend the time to think about, okay, well, how do we actually build great relationships on campus? What are the things that we need to do to kind of make this happen so we can have that kind of vibrant school culture that we all want? So it's my hope that 60 minutes from now, you've got a template, a strategy plan laid out in front of you that you can use to go build campus relationships this school year. So that is my hope, all right? Before we get started, though, I just want to give you a little bit of background on me, just so you know who I was, where I'm coming from, and why I'm here today speaking to you. Full disclosure, like, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be here speaking with you today, all right? My background is actually as a filmmaker. Growing up, I really only had one goal in life and one goal only, and that was work for Disney, all right? That's all I cared about. I'm not here because I have any specific background in education. I'm not a teacher. I just wanted to work for Disney, right? Like, I grew up in the 90s when Disney was kind of having that renaissance. Michael Eisner was CEO. Movies like Lion King were breaking box office records, something that animated films had never done. And I just really want to be a part of that, you know? Disney stores were opening up in every mall across the country, and I don't know if you remember, but everybody had a Mickey Mouse watch on their arm, and it was just kind of a special time. So in college, I got to work at the park. I had the opportunity to work at Disneyland for a summer, and then I actually got to intern for the studio, working in New York and New Jersey, and that was amazing. And after I graduated college, you know, I landed my dream job, packed up my bags, moved to Hollywood, and got a job working at Walt Disney Studios. It was awesome. All right, I worked in marketing right across the street where Walt himself used to work, and I loved it. I got to work on some great films, films like Bug's Life and Toy Story, even some non-Disney films, maybe some of your favorites. I don't know if you remember Armageddon or Con Air. I don't know if you remember Con Air, but that's definitely a classic if you remember it. And I just really enjoyed my time there. But right around that time of my life, something happened here in America that kind of switched my path. And it's what brought me here today to speak to you. And that was the Columbine High School shooting. When Columbine happened, I was just about 22, 23 years old at the time. And my producing partner and I, we really felt like no one's giving kids a voice around the issue. You know, you might remember back then, you turn on CNN, you turn on Fox, you turn on Oprah, and you always see some adult. You see some expert telling us why Eric and Dylan did what they did. And the problem that we had with it as young filmmakers is we never really saw any students telling us why it happened. And we really felt the kids had something to say about the issue. So we saved up some money. We borrowed some money from our parents. And we went on this new website they had back then called eBay. And we bought the cheapest video camera we could find. And we went out that summer just to sit down and start talking to students. Wherever we could find them, at a mall, at a park, at a school, just sit down and start talking to them. And what we found was no matter what their background was, no matter where they came from in life, they all kind of told us the same thing. They all talked about the pressure that they were feeling as students, the relational conflict that they were dealing with at school. You know, back in the year 2000, the word bullying wasn't a really big word like it is today, but that's what they were talking about, like feeling bullied, feeling isolated, feeling excluded. And we thought, hey, there's a story here. You know, these kids have something to say. So we saved up some more money. We actually stole some stuff. We sold it on eBay, and we bought 5 of the cheapest video cameras we could find. And we recruited 5 students to carry cameras for us for an entire school year. And we told them, hey, you can take this with you to school, to work, on the bus, out with family, out with friends, you know, even out running the streets. They really let us into their lives. Because after an event like Columbine High School or some of the other tragedies that we've seen here in America, they felt it was so important for people to start understanding why. And they felt it was so important for people to start understanding some of the pressure that they felt every day. And let me just tell you, these 5 students, they worked their butt off, all right? They shot almost 100 hours of footage between the 5 of them. All right, most of it was completely unusable, but we were able to salvage about 20 minutes of it to put into our first film, the Teen Truth Bullying School Violence film. This film premiered in 2006, and it actually broke records for our distributor. It became one of the top-selling anti-bully films in the country. And because of that success, we got to go on and make a film on drugs and alcohol abuse. We made a 3rd film on body image and self-esteem. We actually made a 4th film on parenting, okay? So we actually gave kids cameras to tell parents how to be better parents, tell families how to be stronger families. And we didn't know it at the time when we started making these films, but what we ended up doing was starting a movement of students across this country who are willing to tell their truth, students across this country who are willing to talk about what they're going through inside. And we've been traveling the country ever since, hosting assemblies and leadership summits and teacher trainings at schools, all around empowering student voice, building school culture, and ultimately building the relationships and connections that we're here today to talk about. So I know today is about campus relationships, but I am sure that every single one of you got into education because you love students. And so I love to start our programs with a little bit of student voice, just to give them a voice, a seat here at the table per se, right? So I want to show you a clip from our parenting film. The reason I chose this film is because I think because of COVID right now, you know, so many students are at home dealing with unique, crazy, different situations at home with their parents. So I thought this would be a good place to start. So let's check this out.
I have an okay relationship with my mom.
I really don't have a good relationship with my mom.
I don't talk to my mom one bit, like, ever.
My dad's more of a buddy thing, but I don't see too much of him.
My dad, I, like, hardly ever get to see him. And my dad, like, honestly, it's, like, mostly, like, fighting, arguing. I get grounded.
Our whole entire relationship is, like, nothing.
They weren't even there for me at all.
What we have for dinner is, like, the most connection we have.
I grew up with the babysitter or the childcare center.
I was in daycare till, like, kindergarten. And then when I was in kindergarten, I went to daycare after school.
I would have loved to have one of my parents ask me, how are you feeling?
I just feel like I'm always looking for my mom and other people.
And I tell you right there, like, think about it. It doesn't get much deeper than what she just said right there. I'm always looking for my mom and other people. You see, we need connections in life. And when students aren't receiving those connections at home, when they're living in difficult environments with their parents, their siblings, multi-generational houses, or just when they're dealing with issues at school like bullying, suicidal thoughts, mental health issues, a lot of times students can really feel alone in those pressures that they're dealing with. And for me, it was very difficult for me to go out on the road and be doing assemblies at schools and meet students like that girl you just saw right there at the end of the video and have her tell me her truth and her story, or to meet students that might show me the cuts on their arms because of the pain that they're dealing with, or even have just students reach out to me on social media talking about suicidal thoughts or just some of the negative thoughts they're having about themselves. And I quickly realized, like, I didn't have the tools in my tool belt to really be having those type of conversations with students. Like, I went to school for marketing, right? Like my goal in life was to work for Disney. And so I put the brakes on everything. It was about 10 years ago now. And I quit my job. I started Teen Truth and I moved out here to Texas, to Austin, Texas. And I applied to Texas State to get my master's in professional counseling. And in the application, I told them, I said, listen, like, this is who I am. This is what I do. I said, I don't really want to be a counselor or anything. Like, I just need the information. Okay. I just need the information so I can help these principals build school culture, so I can help these students be resilient. And unfortunately, I didn't get in. Because, you know, I think if you apply to counseling school, the one thing you're not supposed to do is write, I don't want to be a counselor in your actual application, right? That's probably like advice number one that they'll give you. And I didn't get in. Like an entire semester went by and I was really bummed. And I'll never forget, it was about 2 days before Christmas. And Dr. Conlin called and she said, hey, JC, we watched your movie. We looked at your website. You're not our typical candidate, but we just had a student drop out of the program. If you want her spot, you can have it. You can register for classes tonight. You start in 2 weeks. And I tell you, that door opened and I had to walk through it. And I had the most amazing time there at Texas State. You know, I learned exactly what I was looking to learn. How as a counselor, you know, to sit with that 13-year-old girl and not be afraid of the fact that she's cutting herself and try to understand why she's using that coping skill and help her find a new, healthier coping skill to replace it with. You know, I learned as a counselor how to sit with a couple on the edge of divorce, willing and ready to give up on their marriage and try to reconnect them and re-inspire them and re-energize them to move forward in their marriage. Or of course, the hardest of clients, some of the people that maybe you've had to sit with over the years, like the parents that have lost students to suicide. And to sit there in that room and just feel that pain, that anger, that sadness, and help them build a bridge out of that trauma. And it's been an amazing ride. Now I'm a marriage and family therapist. I have a very small private practice here in Austin, and I've come to love counseling. And one of the things that I've come to realize in counseling, both students and adults, is that it usually always comes down to relationships, okay? No matter who's sitting on that couch across from me, or in today's day and age, who's on the Zoom call across from me, no matter what they're presenting with, depression, anxiety, stress, social anxiety, whatever it is, it usually always comes down to the relationships in their life. Relationships maybe at work, relationships at home, or maybe even relationships in their past. And I found as a therapist that when I can recalibrate those relationships and get a different energy moving in those relationships, that's when everything changes. And so that's what I wanted to talk with you about today, is if relationships are so important and critical for us as human beings, how do we help facilitate healthier relationships? Because the truth is, we all have needs, all right? Every single one of us have needs. You and I, right here, we are social animals, okay? We thrive in connection. We need people in our lives to help us. That's why mom is there to nourish us when we're born. Dad is there to guide us when we're born. You know, grandparents are there to babysit us. And aunts and uncles are there to do fun things with us. And, you know, teachers are there to teach us. And coaches are there to coach us. We literally have the tribe. And we don't hear that word too much anymore. We have the tribe literally raise us up, not for like 2 or 3 years, but, you know, 10, 15, 20 years until we could truly kind of be part of our community and live independently on our own. And so as a result, relationships are very important to us. And I believe that the foundational point of relationships is needs. We all have needs, and they're the building blocks of what makes a healthy relationship. And that's what we're going to focus on here today, is what are our needs and what's the value of expressing our needs as well as serving the needs of others. And so normally this is a training that I do at schools for teachers. We spend about 2 or 3 hours. It's an interactive workshop. I've kind of streamlined it down for you here on a webinar where we're going to spend the 50 or 60 minutes kind of looking at these needs. So as we look at needs, the first thing that I really believe, and that Dr. Ferguson believes, he's the one who taught me this model at Texas State, is that needs are cross-cultural, okay? It doesn't matter what part of the planet we come from, what our background is, we all have needs. Every single one of us is humans. Needs are lifelong and continuous. Okay. It doesn't matter how old we are, whether we're 3 years old, 13, 33, 83, we have needs throughout our life. And they are constantly changing day by day, month by month, year by year. Dr. Ferguson would argue it's okay to have needs. All right. I always like to ask teachers, like, has anyone here ever been told you're too needy? And that's a few people raise their hand. It's like, Dr. Ferguson would say, that's okay. Like, it's okay to have needs. It's okay to express those needs. They're kind of the secret sauce of what makes relationships work. And he believes, like, we cannot meet our own needs. All right. Think about it. Like, we are social animals. Like I said, I could put you in a box for the rest of your life, right? I could give you water, food, oxygen, everything you need, but you wouldn't have a very good, happy, healthy life, would you? You know, how are things for you right now during COVID? I know a lot of us are starting to venture out right now, but, you know, March and April is pretty tough. May is really tough, right? Like, we need connection in our life, and it's hard when we don't have that. And so let's look at these core needs right here. So one of the first needs that we all have is acceptance, all right? So what is acceptance? That's receiving others for who they are, trying not to fix others, being willing to forgive. We all deeply want to be accepted for who we are. We don't want people to try to fix us, you know? Have any of you ever been in a relationship before where you try to fix someone? How'd that work out for you, right? Sometimes teachers are like, I'm still working on it. I'll never forget. I did this training for Life Touch once out of Palm Springs, and one of the guys raised his hand. He said, it was expensive, JC. You know, it's like, we don't want people to fix us. We just want people to accept us and love us for who we are. Think about, I know a lot of you are elementary school principals. Like, think about those new students that come on your campus. How much thought they're going to put into, like, what they're going to wear that day. You know, what their shoes are going to look like, what their hair is going to look like. We deeply want to be accepted. And there's a great movie called Lars and the Real Girl with Ryan Gosling that really shows what it truly looks like to accept someone. And so I want to show you a short clip from this movie as a great example of what acceptance is all about.
Where's your girlfriend?
I don't have one.
Are you gay?
No.
Give this to somebody nice.
Mr. Sunshine. That new girl's kind of cute, huh?
Something's going on. That's him. I'm worried.
Maybe he wants to be left alone.
That's not what he wants.
Hey, I have a visitor.
Where did you meet this person?
I met her on the internet.
Yeah, well, everybody's doing that now.
You know, Bianca's a missionary.
My little brother is crazy, right? I mean, he's crazy.
If I may, he appears to have a delusion.
What the hell is he doing with a delusion?
She loves kids.
Fantastic. When will it be over?
When he doesn't need it anymore.
We gotta fix him. Can you fix him?
Bianca's in town for a reason. This isn't necessarily a bad thing.
How can we help?
Go along with it.
This must be Bianca. Well, welcome.
It can be a communication. It can be a way to work something out. Chances are he's been decompensating for some time.
We don't want anything to do with her.
What's the big deal?
She's a missionary. That's good, isn't it?
Hey, what are you doing on Friday?
I was just thinking that maybe we could all go out.
Does she have a sister?
Wish I had a woman that couldn't talk.
I don't care.
Lars, we do care.
We don't.
That is just not true. Every person in this town bends over backwards to make Bianca feel at home. We do it for you.
How'd you know?
How'd I know what?
That you were a man.
You grow up when you decide to do right. And not what's right for you, what's right for everybody, even when it hurts.
You're not gonna go to work today, Gus?
I don't feel good.
Well, Bianca could help you, you know, she has nurse's training.
So, a really cute example there of what acceptance is all about. And the town people go out of their way to accept Lars and his crazy ways, and his brother has to accept him at some point too. And, you know, not to ruin the film for you, but I love that point in the trailer where the wife is like yelling at Lars, and she's like, Lars! You don't get it. Like, we're doing this all for you. And I think that's something to take note of with this need as well, is like, sometimes people will give us that acceptance, but it's hard for us to sometimes accept it, right? Not to ruin the film, but it's not until Lars truly accepts everything that he's able to kind of move on from his relationship with Bianca and go on a date with that cute blonde that you see in the film. And so acceptance is a core need that all of us have, especially your students and, you know, new staff members, even at times. Like, we deeply want to be accepted for who we are. And so that's something to just always kind of keep aware of. Now, another need that we all have is affection. So what is affection? That is expressing care and closeness through appropriate physical touch, using words such as I love you or I care about you. Affection is a big need for all of us. I mean, like I said, how have you felt during COVID being isolated? I mean, my parents are in their 70s. You know, we haven't even really been able to see them during this experience. And it's been so hard not to like give grandma a hug, right? And be there with her. And so, affection is a core need. It's a need that I have, you know, full disclosure, like affection is usually a pretty big need for me. You know, I mentioned my mom. I come from an Italian family. All right. So you can imagine my Italian family is pretty big. All right. So at Christmas and Thanksgiving, there's like 30 or 40 people. And I can remember as a young boy, always having to like kiss my aunts on the cheek. I mean, we still do it. Like I kiss my cousins on the cheek. And, I think as a result, that's kind of the lens through which I started to see love and relationships. And one thing I've noticed in life is that when I've been in a relationship where maybe the person isn't as affectionate, or it's a season when they're not as affectionate, that's been more difficult for me, right? I feel less connected. I feel less in love or less connected than maybe I wish I could be, right? I'm sure many of your students have felt that way. I'm sure many of us have felt that way. Here's a great little video of maybe what your students are feeling right now.
Whenever you want.
That's pretty legit right there, huh? Deep need for affection. And yet on campus, it can be hard to meet the need of affection. You know, I did this training once out in Orange County with a group of teachers, and one of the coaches like started laughing when I got to that slide. And I just paused and said, "Hey man, what's so funny?" He said, "JC, it's just kind of funny, man. Like the speaker just before you just did 60 minutes on how we're not supposed to touch kids, right? Affection's been kind of like legislated out of our schools and our communities." And so I asked him, and you know, I'll ask you right now. Unfortunately, I can't ask you because, I mean, you could type it in the chat box. But what are ways that we could show affection on campus right now? How do we do that? And I asked him that, and you know, he said maybe some of the same things you're thinking of is we maybe that fist bump is a way to show affection. Maybe that high five, a handshake, or using words like "I care about you," or "I'm rooting for you," or "I support you," can really mean a lot to kids that maybe aren't receiving that affection, especially right now during the COVID crisis. For a teacher, even on Zoom, to take the time to meet with a student one-on-one, to make that face-to-face connection, might be something they really need. And so, you know, I think that's an important thing for all of us to remember. Now, another need that we all have is appreciation. So what is appreciation? That's expressing thanks, giving praise, recognizing what someone else has done. I have found traveling the country, doing these teacher workshops, that appreciation is a high need for teachers, all right? A lot of times they are working so hard. They're doing so much. My dad was a teacher for 38 years. I know how hard they work. You know, it's like they can often feel underappreciated. And unfortunately, when we do feel underappreciated and no one's like, thanking us for the work that we do, that's when resentment can kind of set in. That's when we start to lose energy, maybe. That's when that's when we kind of start burning out a little bit, right? And so for you to be intentional as a school leader and think about how your staff and students and other people on your campus have the need of appreciation, I think this is something that we really need to pause on and think, like, how can I intentionally meet this need for my staff on a regular basis? Because I've learned if you don't feed the teachers, they'll eat the kids, right? And so we want to make sure that we are creating that culture where people are thankful of all the work that everybody's putting in. Now, on the other side of the fence of appreciation, there's also approval, which is a little bit different than appreciation. So approval is building up another person for who they are as opposed to what they do, all right? Appreciation is about what someone else has done, right? Thanking them for that, recognizing that. Approval is like who the person is, okay? I love this image right here, like the thumbs up, like to convey gratitude and pride as it relates to your relationship. You know, it's funny, I was doing this training once where everyone had to fly in for the training, and I got to this slide. I said, what would it look like to meet the need of approval? And one of the guys raised his hand and said, JC, I got a good example. Before I flew out here, I got an 11-year-old son, and before I left for the airport, all of a sudden he just randomly says, hey, Dad, you're doing a good job as a dad. And he talked about, like, how much that meant to him. Because when you're the dad of an 11-year-old son, you might not always know that you're doing a good job. And so approving who someone is and recognizing that, especially for students, like those of you that might be working with like middle school age or fifth or sixth grade age students, as they're kind of developing and figuring out who they are and what their voice is, like for you to give that thumbs up, that pat on the back, say, hey, you're doing a great job, can be a game changer for them. And so that's a core need that we all have. Now, another need that we all have, every student has, is attention. Right? We all need attention from time to time. And that is conveying interest, showing concern, taking notice, entering someone's world. You know, Steve Jobs left us this most amazing little device here, right? Like, we are more connected. Look at my wife. She's even texting me from upstairs right now. We are more connected than we've ever been in the history of our planet. Yet doesn't it feel like we're more disconnected than we've ever been? I mean, how many times are you talking to someone? And they're maybe talking to you, they're listening to you, but doesn't this just feel a lot better? Entering someone's world, being there with them? You know, it seems like we all have kind of partial attention syndrome these days. This is my son Austin, right here on this slide. This is my son Austin when he was about 2 years old. And those of us here that have kids know that kids, they teach us huge lessons about attention, right? And I'll never forget Austin about this age. We were in his playroom playing. And one of the things with Teen Truth, because I'm the CEO and one of the founders, I tend to do like most of the sales work. So I book a lot of the schools, and I'm always calling on principals and counselors to try to get our program in the schools. And as you know, being a principal, like, you guys are never in your office, right? You are always on the go, really hard to get a hold of. And so as a result, for me, like my sales process is like 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. All right. If you email me, I'm going to try to email you back right away. And I found that when I can do that, I can sometimes get like a discussion going even on email. And so I'll never forget, like, I was in Austin's playroom and that email came in. I was like, all right, I'm going to book this school. I got this. And I'm typing away on my iPhone, and all of a sudden this little hand reaches over my iPhone and he pulls it away from me and he puts it behind him. And that was Austin's way of saying, Dad, I need your attention right here. You're in my world, all right? You're in my playroom. You want to go book Teen Truth schools? Go to your office. And I think, you know, he was 100% right. I wasn't giving him that attention. And now he's 6, his brother's 3. They're both running around upstairs right now, and they've taught us a lot about attention. I mean, I'm sure every single one of you has had a kid in your class or on your campus just like this guy right here. Yeah. Too funny, right? Like, I love how not even the dog is giving him attention. It's like, somebody pick this kid up, right? Hear me. See me. Enter my world. How many of you, by show of hands, maybe hit him in the maybe put an emoji in the chat box. How many of you have had a student like that before in your classroom? For sure. For sure. How many of you have had a staff member like that before on campus? For sure. We all need attention from time to time. It's a core need that we all have. So giving that undivided attention is just so, so important when it comes to building relationships. Now, another need that we all have is comfort. And one thing about the 10 needs that we're talking about that I've found as a therapist is comfort is kind of the hardest need for us to meet. It is uncomfortable for us to meet the need of comfort. It requires us to kind of sit in the mud and the muck with someone. Comfort is caringly responding to a hurting person through words, actions, and emotional responses, as well as appropriate physical touch. You know, one thing I've come to realize as a counselor is a lot of times in people's lives, they don't receive comfort. And you might feel this way from time to time. Like, you might be talking to someone about what you're going through, talking to them about a problem that you're having, and then all of a sudden they start talking about how they would solve it, right? Or they start talking about what happened in their life. And you're like, no. I'm trying to figure out what's happening in my life. And one thing I've come to realize is that, like, people come to me as a therapist and they pay me money. Like, even now during COVID, they pay me money to sit on a Zoom call with them for 50 minutes and give them that attention and give them that comfort and not be afraid to sit in the mud and the muck with them and hear what they're going through, because a lot of times they're not receiving that in other areas of their life. And there's a great movie called Inside Out that's made by Disney that I want to show you a short clip from right now. Just to kind of set up the film for those of you that haven't seen it. It's a great example of what comfort looks like. And so in this film, basically the film's about this girl named Riley. Okay. And throughout the film, we're inside Riley's head. And so, like, all the characters are her emotions. So there's a character for anger. There's a character for joy. This here on screen, this is the character for sadness. And we're going to watch a scene where Riley's imagination has lost something. And I want you to watch how joy handles the situation and how sadness handles the situation.
My rocket! Wait, Riley and I were still using that rocket. It still has some soft power left. Who's a friend who likes to play? No! You can't take my rocket to the dump! Riley and I go to the moon! Riley can't be done with me.
Hey, it's going to be okay. We can fix this. We just need to get back to headquarters. Which way to the train station?
I had a whole trip planned for us.
Hey, who's ticklish, huh? Here comes the tickle monster.
Hey, Bing Bong, look at this. Oh, here's a fun game. You point to the train station and we all go there. Won't that be fun? Come on, let's go to the train station.
I'm sorry they took your rocket. They took something that you loved. It's gone. Forever.
Sadness. Don't make him feel worse.
Sorry.
It's all I had left of Riley.
I bet you and Riley had great adventures.
Oh, they were wonderful. Once we flew back in time, we had breakfast twice that day.
Sadness!
It sounds amazing. I bet Riley liked it.
Oh, she did. We were best friends.
Yeah. Sad.
I'm okay now. Come on. The train station is this way.
Wow,
did you do that?
I don't know. I'm sad, so I listened to what...
Hey! There's the train!
And so, such a great film, but such a great example of what it looks like to meet the need of comfort. You know, Joy did what so many of us want to do. Like, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. But that's not what Riley's imagination needed at the time, right? Like, he had lost something. He was sad. And what he needed was sadness to sit there in the mud and the muck with him. And I love that moment in the scene where the elephant, like, hugs her and cries out all the candy. And then he's like, all right, I'm good. Let's go find the train. And sometimes that's kind of all we need, is someone to sit there with us and say, God, man, sucks. I can imagine that's hard. You must feel really sad right now. And so I want to just pause on this for you as a school leader, because this year is already challenging, right? I'm not going to rehash COVID with you right now. But you're going to have staff members that are going to go through divorces. You're going to have people in your life that are going to lose loved ones. You're going to have kids on your campus that are dealing with crazy situations. And if you as a school leader can sit there like Sadness did and show them that comfort, that is what, you know, I talked about the parents that I've sat with that have lost students to suicide. That is what kind of builds the bridge, right? It allows them to work through those challenging emotions that they're having. And you just being there with them, especially as a school leader or even your teachers doing it for them, it just can be a game changer in that situation. And so as we start looking at these 10 needs, you can see why I call them the building blocks of relationships, because we need to be very intentional about the need that we're meeting and how we're serving that need. And so the next need that we all have is respect. So what is respect? Respect is a high need for teachers, I've found. Respect is valuing another person highly, treating one another as important, honoring another with our words and actions. I like this little image right here about how, going around that tree. Respect can be really difficult, especially for teachers. I mean, I've met teachers on the road that say, JC, you know, my kids are disrespectful, their parents are disrespectful. Sometimes the administrators are disrespectful, other staff members. And when you're a teacher and you just really have a good heart for kids and you want to teach kids, it is really hard to do well at your job when you feel disrespected. Like every teacher, you know, thought teaching would be like this, but there on the bottom, that's kind of how it feels as a teacher sometimes, fending off the velociraptors. I stole this off of Facebook, but you know, I think it's so true. And I've been in the room with teachers that have felt disrespectful. I've had them raise their hand. I remember one time in Oregon at a middle school, a teacher rose her hand and said, I feel really disrespected here. I know I'm a younger teacher, but I went to grad school. I did all my hours. Like, I feel like I know what I'm doing. And I wish sometimes here on this campus I could have that kind of respect. And so, you know, it's something that's a high need for teachers from time to time. And if you can go out of your way to show that respect or to communicate it to teachers and build that culture of respect, it's the difference between the top picture and the bottom picture, right? It's the difference between the top picture and the bottom picture. And that's all I have to say about that. That's kind of a Forrest Gump line right there, huh? That's all I got to say about that. So another need that we all have is encouragement. So what is encouragement? Urging others to persist and persevere in their efforts, cheering others towards their goal, instilling hope. We all need encouragement from time to time. You know, I mentioned earlier how I'm Italian, which means I have an Italian mom. If any of you know what Italian moms are like, I know it kind of dates me, but if you ever saw that show, Everybody Loves Raymond, okay, you know exactly what my mom is like, all right? And she's just super encouraging. Like, she's a cheerleader. There's like nothing in the world she doesn't think I can do. And as a result, I've always been really receptive, and encouragement's always worked well for me. You know, in school growing up playing football, like, we had coaches. I was always very coachable. We actually had cheerleaders that like cheered for us. And one thing in my marriage with my wife Callie that's been kind of interesting is she's just not that encouraging. I love my wife. She's an amazing woman. She's awesome. But she just, it's not just something that she does naturally. She doesn't come from a family that really does that naturally. And that was kind of a problem early in our marriage. And it was interesting. Until I started doing this work with Dr. Ferguson, I didn't really have the vocabulary All right. And that's what we're talking about right here. Okay. Today, the vocabulary to express my need to Callie, right? Until that day when I could come home and say, Callie, I think what the problem is I need some encouragement. And once I was able to label it, Callie knew exactly how to meet my need. And I said, you know, listen, it's super hard booking these schools for Teen Truth. These principals are never in their office. I say, you know, when I book a school, can you just like give me a high five or something? Be excited. And so now I kind of get that high five. She gives me that encouragement. But you know, what's cool is Callie's gone through this training as well. I did it for one of the preschool moms group that she was a part of. And so now she knows these 10 needs. And so when we ever are having a problem, it's like, time out. What do you need? What do you need? And once she can express that need, boom, I know exactly how to serve that need. And that's what's powerful about what we're talking about here today is that it's a two-way street. And with you and your staff members, when I'm working with a couple in therapy, that's what we need to convince them of. If we want great relationships, we've got to feed the relationship, all right? You've got to have courage to be vulnerable about what you're going through, what is your need, and then the other person in the relationship has to serve that need. And I found, especially in marriage counseling, that's when we get a different momentum going. We label the need, we serve the need, and man, it just starts going. It starts going, right? And that's what a healthy relationship is all about. Here's a great example of what it looks like to meet the need of encouragement.
You okay, babe?
I'm fine.
With a Subaru, you can always find a way. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Makes you want to buy a Subaru pretty bad, huh? Just a great example. We need that from time to time. And it's interesting because just a few slides ago, we saw joy, right, in the Inside Out, offering the encouragement. But that's not what that elephant needed at that moment. He needed comfort, right? And so these needs, we've got to kind of be able to label them and be aware of how to serve that need in our staff, our students, and even your loved ones, right? You can use this conversation at home as well. Now, coming down the home stretch, we just have two needs left, so I do want to be respectful of your time. I know we've got to get you out of here on time. So this need is about support. We all have a high need for support. That is coming alongside others, providing that gentle, appropriate assistance with that problem or struggle. I've found this to be a high need for principals. I've done this program for some principal conferences and had them in the room to talk about this. And I know how hard you guys work. You know, you men and women are kicking butt. You are school culture, right? Like you are the leaders making all this happen, bringing all this pixie dust together. And it can be pretty hard to do that when you don't feel like you have support. And so when that staff member comes alongside of you, when that activity director says, hey, do you mind if I run with this idea for a rally? Or when that counselor says, I want to do a new SEL program during advisory period, that takes a big weight off your back to have that kind of support, right? And so, and of course, it goes two ways. Your teachers and your staff and everybody on your campus needs support from time to time. And one thing I always like to point out when it comes to support that you saw on the slide, I like on the slide, it says, providing that gentle, appropriate assistance with a problem, right? And you know this being elementary principals is especially with students or younger teachers, this is how we build resiliency. Like, we don't want to do it for them, all right? Young trees need strong winds, right? They need strong winds. And so providing that support is important, but that doesn't mean we're going to do things for them. I'm sure you've seen those parents on your campus, those lawnmower parents. Like when we were growing up, we had helicopter parents, right? Now we got lawnmower parents mowing down all the problems for their kids because they don't want their problems to struggle. I heard someone call them bulldozer parents the other day on the radio. So, you know, that's a corny, that's a tangent. I'm going to keep moving on now. Okay. And the last need that we all have is security. Security is a big need for all of us in relationships, right? At school, in life. Security is establishing and maintaining harmony in our relationship providing freedom from fear or threat of harm, and consistency and keeping promises. Knowing that someone will be there for us, to support us, someone has our back. There are students right now in your remote learning programs that are living in crazy situations at home. You know this. The security, the relationship that your teachers build with them, that 20 minutes on that Zoom call, whatever it is, that connection might be the best connection that kid gets all day in some cases, right? And so when we talk about relationships on campus being important, I think we would all agree that when a student or a staff member or a human being is in a situation that's insecure, it's very hard for us to live in healthy relationship. And so what can you do as staff members to kind of help make that happen? And so as we head down the home stretch here, I would like you to just kind of think about what your top three needs are. You know, we talked a lot today about needs. We talked about acceptance and affection. We talked about appreciation and approval. We looked at needs like respect and security. And so unfortunately, we're not in a room together where I can like get you guys to do an activity like I normally do. We're on a webinar. You can't even talk to me. But I'm going to pause for a moment. And I'd like you to just think about what your top three needs are.
And JC, while we're waiting, so Jackie says her hot three highest were respect, support, and encouragement.
Definitely. Thank you, Jackie. That is courageous to jump in the chat box like that, for sure. And these needs, they might be different, right, at work for you versus at home, right? They may be different today than they are next week. And so normally when we're on campus, we can kind of do, I like to do this thing, it's called Mentimeter. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a website. You can do like online polling. And so I just want to show you a few of these Mentimeters that I've done over the years in this workshop. This was with a small group of elementary teachers up in New Hampshire. You can see out of the 29 people that voted in this Mentimeter, 23 of them had appreciation as a high need. So Jackie, you're not alone. You're not alone. Gracie, you're not
Gracie
alone.
Gracie actually says appreciation, approval, and encouragement.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Gracie. That's awesome. And so you can see here that number two are respect and support for the staff. And so if I'm a school leader here, this tells me exactly what I need to do to help my teachers be better. Here's one I just did last week up in Lubbock. I actually got to go to a school in Lubbock last week. It was amazing to work with people. We were all socially distanced, but you know, here's theirs. You can see a high need for encouragement on that campus. That was a campus. It was outside of Lubbock. It was a town that deals with a lot of poverty, a lot of difficult situations. Those teachers need encouragement. They need support and they need appreciation. So isn't that interesting? And respect is also very high there. So that's how they felt out there. And last one, this is one I did with some principals out in North Carolina. 165 of you, 165 principals. Look at this. Number one need is support. Number one need is support with 100 out of 165. Respect coming in at number two. Encouragement and appreciation at three and four. So hopefully this just kind of gives you some insight into the power of this relational needs model and how it helps drive conversation, right? How it helps people form good relationships and how it gives you intel and information to drive relationships on campus. You know, if you go back to that screen, you can see like, interesting that attention is pretty low with this group of principals. Principals don't need a lot of attention. Let's just go back. It's low here in Lubbock too. So that's kind of interesting. But that might be very different if I were to ask them what their top three needs were at home, right? So just kind of something to think about. So the reason why I want to ask you this and kind of what I'm driving at here today and what this whole training is about is what would change if your top needs were met? You know, Jackie, Gracie, who commented, it's like, if your three needs were 100% locked down, good to go, did not have to worry about them, what would change? And staff members tell me time and time again that they would have more energy. They would be more efficient. They would do better at their job. They would be more motivated, right? They would be excited to be at work. And so this model that we've talked about today, while it is extremely simple, it is the building blocks. I talk about the pixie dust, right? Remember, I'm an old Disney guy. I talk about the pixie dust that makes relationships happen, because this is what's happening in your relationships right now. So check this out. We have the opportunity in life between pain and positivity, between painful outcomes and positive outcomes. And this graphic that you see here on screen is happening in your life, on your campus, in every relationship right now on the planet. So let me walk through this with you. We're going to use the bottom, so stay on the bottom with me right here. Let's talk about that teacher in Oregon I mentioned that felt disrespected, the younger teacher. Her relational need is obvious. It's respect. That's what she said. That need goes unmet, okay? She continues to feel disrespected. That leads her to faulty thinking. Nobody on this campus cares about me. This school sucks. Maybe even she starts thinking, I'm not a good teacher. Maybe I made a mistake, which leads to negative feelings. I feel sad. Maybe she feels a little angry. She starts feeling resentment, right? Which leads to unhealthy behaviors. Maybe she doesn't do that extra work to prep for class. Maybe like when she goes home at night, instead of going for a walk, she decides not to go. She doesn't go to the gym that day because she's upset. Maybe she has an extra glass of wine that night or eats a tub of ice cream, right? She makes bad behavior decisions, which leads to painful outcomes. Okay, she doesn't feel good because she didn't go to the gym. She didn't go for a walk. She ate a tub of ice cream. And it leads to her maybe burning out as a teacher, feeling bad about being a teacher and not being a great teacher. Now, let's reverse it. Let's come to the top of the graphic. And let's say that need is met. Someone on that campus goes out of their way to say, hey, you're a younger teacher. During COVID, can you help me with some of this technology, right, to be a great teacher remotely? The need is met. She feels respected, okay? That leads her to healthy thinking. You know what? I was having a hard day yesterday, but this school's all right. The teachers here care about me. I'm feeling pretty good, which leads to positive feelings. I feel happy. I feel energized. I feel like I'm a good teacher, which leads to healthy behaviors. I'm not going to eat that tub of ice cream. I'm going to take my dog for a walk. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to call my mom to check in. I'm going to do that extra effort to be a better teacher for tomorrow, which leads to positive outcomes. You love the work she's doing. You promote her. She becomes an activity director on your campus. Maybe one day she goes back to grad school to become a counselor. Maybe one day she even becomes a principal like you. And that graphic, I think, really sums up everything that we're talking about today and why this vocabulary that we're talking about is so important. Because if we can express our need and have that need met, that's when everything changes. We have the option between positive outcomes and painful outcomes. Every single one of us wants an outcome just like this. That is what it's all about, right? And that's what it looks like at a Coldplay concert. But that's exactly what you want to look like at your school. You want those positive outcomes with staff members, with students. You want it with your family at home. This is what relationships are all about. And so I hope today's discussion has been useful for you. I truly believe this vocabulary is a game changer when it comes to building relationships. I believe it's simple. Some people might tell you what I just taught you is simple. And my response to that is like, well, then why isn't it happening? If it's so simple, this should be easy. And so if you are interested, we put together a quiz for you. If you want to go to teentruth.net/quiz, I built a relational needs quiz that you can use with your staff to just kind of like get the temperature on what the relationships are like on campus. So it's completely free. You have no obligation. But if you go to teentruth.net/quiz, it's a very simple, it's like 20 questions, and it will tell you. It will tell you if you have good relationships or negative relationships on campus, and hopefully allow some of that conversation with your staff. And secondly, if there's anything that I can do to support you, feel free to reach out. Like, obviously, I'm here. If you need me to come in, do a virtual program, do a program on campus, I'm here to help. But really, if you just want to call and, like, bang ideas around and just talk about stuff, like, I'm here. I'm here, so you can call me. Here's my number. We're here to do everything that we can to support you. And, again, I want to thank the organization here for having us today. Of course, thank LifeTouch for making this happen and bringing us all together. And Honor and Jackie, I really appreciate you making the time today as well. So I'll throw it back to you guys, but I'm definitely here if anybody has any questions.
Thank you, JC. That last video caused my eyes to leak. So thank
you. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Truly enjoyed it. Very inspiring and helpful information. So thank you for making the time for us. And big thanks as well to LifeTouch, to Dave Leslie and the entire LifeTouch team for their support, not only of NAESP, but of our members in providing this. So thank you. Look forward to whatever's next and wish you the best.
All right. Y'all take care. Have a great school year. I'm rooting for all of you.